When I saw Tyrod go down, I kind of realized, like, oh, I'm up next. I mean, I'm the quarterback. So,
what is going on, Giants fans? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Big Blue with JQ. The New York Football Giants are 5-1. 5 wins, 1 loss through the first 6 weeks of the season. Giants just took down the Baltimore Ravens at home at MetLife, 24-20. I was there. It was probably the loudest I've ever heard MetLife. But before we get into everything, Tommy boy's here as well. Tom, I have no voice. I'm also going to the Yankee game tonight. So what's good?
Yeah. You're out of your mind, respectfully. You were up by me Friday, and then you went out to the city and then went to work Saturday. And then went to the Giant game yesterday, Sunday. Had yesterday off, and then apparently your body said, well, I had my rest. Now you're going to the Yankee game. But that's what we need. We need that energy in New York sports right now. The Yankees are going to need that today to hopefully win game 5 and then play tomorrow in the ALCS, which will be another nightmare, but just get through today first. Anyway, I'm good. What an unbelievable day for New York sports. Sunday was. I'd have to look back. I don't think there has been a better day in terms of the 1 24-hour span. You had the Giants take down the Ravens at home in MetLife after being down 20-10 in the fourth quarter. You had the Jets go into Lambeau and beat the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers. And then the Yankees got it done in game 4 to force a game 5. And of course the Buffalo Bills can't forget that Buffalo is indeed still in New York. Buffalo Bills went into Kansas City and beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. What a great day for New York. What a great day for New York sports. That's really how I feel in terms of myself. And we just got to keep moving, dude. We're going to keep this short because we got to get you on that train to the Yankee game, boy.
Yeah, I gotta catch that train. So I guess we'll start off real quick. I want to start off about the atmosphere of MetLife. So, like, getting to the tailgate, it was packed, Tom. It was unbelievable to see how many people were there that early. Because the past couple of weeks when I've been getting there that early, it's usually not that crowded. By the time I got there, it was almost like hard to find a parking spot. It was nice. This one crew of guys, they ended up moving their table for me so I could park next to them. They were like, yeah, we just, like, saved an extra spot just in case. I guess it was for me. Word, worked out perfectly. The atmosphere inside MetLife Stadium was the best I've ever seen it in years, that I could recall. And obviously for very good reasons. Giants are off to a 5-1 start. The fan base is excited. New coaching regime, Dable, absolute stud. But Tom, this game was a lot of fun. There were some dull moments to it. It was a little slow. It felt like Baltimore controlled a lot of the game, but when it came down to crunch time, the Giants made big plays and Lamar's flaws came true. And he just made a couple bad plays that reversed the entire fourth quarter and allowed the Giants to get right back into it.
Eyes. It's still on my bucket list. It sucks that I work Sundays with work. I've never been to MetLife for a Giants regular season game. I've been for a preseason game. I've been for Jets regular season games, Jets preseason games. I've been to Dallas for a Giants regular season game, but I've still never been to MetLife for Giants regular season game. I will make it happen one day, obviously. But yeah, that's exactly what I expected it to sound and feel like. And I'm glad you were there. The video you sent of the Kayvon sack at the end of the game was unbelievable. And that was literally right in your wheelhouse. I was right in the back of your end zone. They're just, dude, it's we're in a weekly cycle of we're just in, well, I'm in just still like disbelief that they're just doing this. It doesn't feel real. And, you know, where it's October 18th. There's only 13 days of October left. There's 2 weeks of October. And then all of a sudden we're in November. And we're still talking about them winning these games. They're 5-1.
You know what they were last year through 6 games?
1-5.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy what a year difference makes with the coaching staff and everything. But yeah, back to what you were saying, that Kayvon strip sack. I was like, oh, let me pull out my phone. Because when I brought Blake, our buddy, to the last game against the Bears, he got like the Daniel Jones rushing touchdown on video. So that was cool. We put it on the Talking Big Blue Instagram page. Got over 10K views, Tom, actually, which is pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah, 10K views. Yeah. So I'm sitting there and like, I'm feeling great. I felt like the crowd felt the same too. Baltimore was not going down and scoring with a minute 40 left. They weren't. All the momentum shifted like in a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'll pull out the phone. Let me pull it out. I start the video and like, I'm not watching through the phone. I'm watching like, you know, I'm watching alongside with the phone as I'm like holding it in my hand right here. And I just see Kayvon come off the edge. And the next thing I saw is just the ball. It just rips out of Lamar's hands. And the crowd went nuts. And then you see it bouncing around and the Giants finally got on top of it. That's when the place just absolutely erupted. And it was just awesome, man. It was so cool to see like the Giants fought so hard and another comeback in the fourth quarter. Daniel Jones has four game-winning drives this year. No other quarterback has more than him. So, you know, props to him. The kid, you know, busts his behind off every week in, week out. But no, the defense stepped up when they needed to. Julian Love with the Giants' first interception of the year could not have been at a better time, Tom. And just a bad pass from Lamar. You see the snap go behind Lamar and it's like, uh-oh, like he might just take off here and run and pick up like 30 yards is the first thought that came to my mind. And then he unloads it and I'm like, why don't you just throw it away? And then all of a sudden Julian Love just, as a safety does, just sneaks up on you when you least expect it and picked it off. I thought he was going to return it to the house. It was so cool.
I haven't had this much fun just watching like the team play in so long, dude. Like the 2016 was fun and all, you know, they went 11-5 and like it was, again, it was like the defense played really well. I think we kind of take that year for granted almost just because of the way, you know, everything went with the boat trip and then the game in Green Bay. But so you almost like look past that because it really feels like we haven't had fun watching this team play in at least in a decade, which has been what it's been. And they're just so well coached. I say it every week to you, whether it's on here or just in a regular conversation, and you laugh at me every time I say it. This team on paper is so goddamn bad. They lack talent all over the field on paper, but the way the coaches that are in this organization now are coaching this team, it's making them look like they've fully rebuilt the roster in a year, which they obviously haven't. They have their draft class and maybe four free agents that they, you know, swindled in and stuff. It just makes you think what this team can be, you know, like I think I texted you Sunday night that they're the worst 5-1 team in the history of 5-1 teams. Cause just because, you know, the other two 5-1 teams are the Vikings, who are full of very talented players, and obviously the Bills, who are an absolute wagon. So they're a horrible, you know, 5-1 team in that aspect, but it shows you and makes you think what this team can be in the future. And just, you know, even the rest of this year, and then just the future, the organization's never been so bright. Because while Joe Judge had that brief stint of where we thought there was some hope when they were stringing together a couple of wins, things still didn't feel right. There was still like a big elephant in the room that we didn't really know what was going on. This year is not that case. This Dable's legit. Wink is legit. And the best part is, you know, other than the draft, we haven't really seen what Joe Shane can do as a GM in terms of a full offseason with money yet. So I know I'm getting really far ahead, but wins like this and them being 5-1 with this, you know, with this severe lack of overall talent on the team, it's making the really talented guys look like gods. And then it's making the guys who we really haven't seen play that well over the last few years look really decent all of a sudden.
No, yeah, I couldn't agree more. The talent, it's not all there. The roster's not all there. And we all knew that going into the season, but good coaching, really shows up in the NFL, and it's awesome to see. And no, I you know, I agree, but I do think the Giants have some talented players, and I think it's finally just putting, finally just putting those guys in a better system, or even maybe the right system, has been tremendous for all of them. Like, look at Adoree Jackson this year. Once again, he's been locked down ever since last year. So he's been great. The defense has been phenomenal. And I wonder how good it must feel to be Wink Martindale right now. You were in Baltimore for 10 years. You get your revenge game against them. There's no bad blood. You know, it was time to move on. But how that must have felt for him to close out the game on those final two drives, stop Baltimore, and help his team secure the win must have been really cool.
Well, it was kind of wild to watch. It found its way back onto Twitter Sunday night, saying how it was really ironic. It was really ironic to watch the video now after the way the game ended Sunday, and it was the video of the combine meeting the Giants had with Kayvon Thibodeau before the draft. And Dable pretty much asks him, he says, you know, you're a really talented player. You're probably the best, if not one of the best players in the draft. Imagine yourself getting drafted here to the New York Giants. All of a sudden you have all that extra attention on you. You played at a big program, so you're used to that, but New York pretty much multiplies it by five. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And then he asks him, he goes, so now put yourself in these shoes. We're five games into the year. You don't have a sack, which he didn't. You know, you don't have a sack. How do you adapt to that? How do you react to that? You know, like, the team's playing well, but you might not be playing well, or the team's playing bad and you don't have a lot of sacks. How do you adapt to that? And then Kayvon, of course, gave a phenomenal answer. All of a sudden you look at it, they were five games into the year. He hadn't had a sack yet, right? Or if anything, he hadn't had a sack yet. And all of a sudden he strip sacks Lamar Jackson to win the game and seal the game and get them to 5-1. So it just kind of goes full circle how this organization kind of got into these young players' heads right away with scenarios, and just really, really, they came into this season just mentally ready to go more than we've ever seen them in a really long time. And like, yeah. So what the little tangent I went on before, let me clarify myself. The Giants have several players that are really, really good at football. But when you look at the overall 53-man roster, it's the same guys we've been stuck with the last few years. But like Q was saying, these coaches have these guys perhaps in the right system for the first time since they've been on this team. And now all of a sudden they look like really good players. Like, look at Julian Love. He was drafted in what, 2017, 2018?
It's been like 4 or 5 years. He's due for a contract.
Yeah, he's been here forever. And we never really knew. We always knew that he was, you know, he might have been pretty good, but we never got to see his full potential. Now he just picked off Lamar Jackson, which wound up being one of the game sealing plays, because they drove down and scored that touchdown. And just even the guys like that, like Adoree Jackson from last year, the talent pool is all of a sudden a lot higher than it really should be, because again, it's the same guys we've been watching all these years. And they couldn't be in a better spot almost 2 months into the season.
Tom, everything you said is very true. And it's great. It feels amazing. You saw how emotional Kayvon Thibodeau was after the game. That was his first career sack. A game-sealing strip sack to help his team win. And it's cool to see like players get emotional like that, I personally think, because it shows how much not only the sport means to them, but how much like that big play means to them, like making that big time play. And especially as a rookie too, you make a play like that, like you'll never forget that. And Kayvon, I'm going to paraphrase it too. He said it, but as soon as he was drafted by the Giants, like those like couple interviews after, they said like, oh, looking at the schedule now, like who's someone you like would like to sack, like as a quarterback. And his answer was Lamar Jackson. He goes, if I can get a guy, that'd be the guy I would like to, you know, get my hands on, sack him. So that it just all became true. And, you know, him missing the 2 weeks, you know, still not having a sack by week five, it's just weird how like that was like a storyline. And now like before the draft, and now it's like popping back up again. It's like, whoa, fuck. like, this is cool. Like, and you know, he was true to his word. He said, we're going to make it work and don't give up. Don't give up on me, because I'm telling you, I'm ready, and I'm ready for the bright lights. And he certainly is, man. He's a special talent. You see him out on the field, he makes a lot of nice plays. This week he had 3 total tackles, 1 sack. So he made some big plays in big moments, and I'm proud of the kid. And, you know, shout out to Evan Neal too. He had his best game of his career. He just was solid all game, Evan Neal. Very good at pass blocking this game, going up against Jason Pierre-Paul, former Giant. I know it's not saying much, but I'm sure he wasn't the only one he was shutting down all game. But Evan Neal had a phenomenal game. Andrew Thomas played really well. Like, those two cornerstone pieces on the offensive line are going to be huge once the Giants can build an interior offensive line.
Yeah. And the whole everyone worrying about Evan Neal over those last couple of games, we kind of bit that in the butt right away, because like you said perfectly, I think it was two, three weeks ago now. The same thing happened with Andrew Thomas' rookie year. He had a little bit of an adjustment period. He kind of looked a little bit slower, off a step his rookie year for the first couple months. And luckily, you know, the Giants were in a place where Andrew Thomas would not be single-handedly losing them games. And at the end of the day, he figured it out. And, you know, this is year 3 now, right?
For Andrew Thomas,
You know, looking, this is year 3 now. I'm pretty sure it still holds true. He's statistically the best left tackle in football right now. And so while Evan Neal had a couple sloppy games earlier in the year, we knew it was going to be the same thing with him. And he just needed that period to get used to it, you know, get up to the NFL speed. And now he's stringed together at least 2, might even be 3, really solid games. And like you said, and they were saying it all draft night, that if Neal panned out and Thomas continued to improve, that would be the anchor of the offensive line for the next decade. And now, you know, all they'd have to figure out would be the interior, which just makes things a whole lot easier. They continue to impress us week after week after week. And we hate to get ahead of ourselves, but 6 weeks into the season, at what point can you start realistically, you know, analyzing this team in terms of this season, like the immediate future? Because you read the next month of the schedule, I mean, it's like every game seems winnable now. After taking down the Packers, I don't care if it was in London, after taking down the Packers, you just beat the Ravens, you beat the Titans week 1, you beat obviously the Panthers are bad. The only game you lost was to the Cowboys, and I guess that was your sloppiest game. And, you know, it really wasn't that sloppy. The Cowboys' defense is just unreal in terms of getting to the quarterback. So when you look at the rest of the year, Q, I might have to start admitting that this team – I might have to start admitting that we need to embrace conversations about the future of this year.
I think give it – I almost dropped my phone and it was going to make a really loud bang on the floor. Give it – 2 weeks.
Two more weeks.
I wanna see what the team looks like going into their bye week, week 9. I really want them to split these 2 games. If they lose one, I'm totally okay with it. I don't remember what losing looks like, so I should get used to it.
Right.
That's me being very confident. But no, I think if they could take one of these games against Jackson and Seattle, they'll be 6-2 heading into their bye week.
Unreal.
And then they have Houston and Detroit after that. So this 4 games, or you know what? Or win all 4. I don't care. Go 9-1. Secure a playoff. That's what we're going to have to if they win this week, I'll start to talk more about the playoffs. That's what I'll do. If they beat Jacksonville this week, I'll start to talk more about the playoffs. And, you know, maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe the Eagles will lose a game and Dallas will lose a game. And then the Giants are sitting on top of the division. Then I'll be like, all right. But back to our regularly scheduled program, I want to talk about the offense real quick. Daniel Jones has been great this year. He really has. You know, the game-winning drive goes 5 for 5. Saquon had, I think it was like 40 rushing yards. I might be wrong on that final drive, that game. Or, you know, leading up to those final touchdown drives, he had a big second half, Saquon. I was saying it to my buddy at halftime. They can't contain Saquon for 2 halves of football. It's just not going to happen. And you saw that he ended up with 83 rushing yards after the first half when he only had like maybe 20. He had 60 in the second half. So that's always great to see. Didn't have any long runs, but had a bunch of chunk runs, like, you know, 6 to 8 yards, which builds up and, you know, helps gain first down. So that was awesome. Shout out to Wandale Robinson, first NFL career touchdown.
Yeah, he looked good.
He was great out there, and he looked really good. I was happy to see that, you know, and I think that's why they drafted this kid. He's lightning quick, man. He's really fast, and hopefully he stays on the field because he's going to make a big impact. You know, Daniel Bellinger makes his impact too. You know, he had that big touchdown at the end of the was it in the third quarter or was it in the fourth? I forget when it was. It might have been Wanda? In the beginning of the fourth. No, Bellinger's touchdown. I forgot when it was.
I think that was the third, because didn't Wandale score in the fourth?
Wandale scored in the first or the second. It was the second. Sorry. Yeah, my bad. You get jumbled up when you watch these games. Yeah, Daniel Bellinger scored in the fourth quarter. That made it 20-17.
Right.
And Saquon scored the 1 yard touchdown run to give the Giants the lead later on. But all these young guys, these rookies, you know, Evan Neal, Kayvon Thibodeau, Wandale Robinson, Daniel Bellinger. This is that draft class. Mm-hmm. This is Joe Shane's first draft class pulling through for the New York Giants in this win. So that's pretty damn cool. You know, I forgot to say also Dexter Lawrence has been an absolute animal. I just wanted to shout him out because I told myself I can't forget, because the big man, the big sexy Dex, needs some love too as an interior defensive lineman. He's got 4 sacks now, I think, on the year. So good for him. But no, the offense was clicking, and Daniel Jones, he's just been making smart plays all year. Yeah. And, you know, that's what you want your quarterback to do. The stat line might not look the prettiest every week, but he threw 2 damn touchdowns and he led the Giants to a win and his 4th game winning drive of the year. So that's all I got to say about Daniel Jones. You can say whatever you want about him, but the guy deserves his respect. I don't care what anyone says.
2 damn touchdowns. I like that. We should put that on the t-shirt. This is episode 5 of me saying it. You look at the way a quarterback plays entirely different when they win the game. And yeah, is Danny lighting up the box scores every week? Absolutely not. But is he making the important plays and not turning the ball over, which is all in all heavily influencing them winning these games? Yes. And again, he's not taking over games, but we don't need him to do that. We just need him to not turn the ball over, which has been his thing the last 4 years or however many years he's been on the team now. And that's what he's doing. He's not turning it over. And you're just seeing how much, you know, obviously naturally, how much longer it's keeping the offense out on the field, how easier it is to get into a rhythm as an offense and to drive the ball down the field and let Saquon get those 6 to 8 yard runs that all of a sudden he does that 6 times. He has almost 60 rushing yards already. And we're 6 games into the year, and
he looks pretty damn good.
He looks pretty damn good. And I think I said it to you Sunday night. If he continues to play this way, I keep looking down here because that's where my old camera used to be. I just keep looking at the rest of the year. And if he continues to play this way and the Giants continue to win these games, he's not going anywhere. There will be zero need for them to hit the reset button on a quarterback with the way he's played through 6 weeks and the fact that they're winning these games. Why, you know, and Dable's going to say it at the end of the year. If this year goes the way it's going, and, you know, forget about what happens if they make the playoffs. But like, if this year continues to be a success, Dable's going to say, because this is how he's been all year, he's going to say, you know, why would we start over on a quarterback when we liked everything we saw from Daniel this year, and the things we didn't like, we believe we can fix right away in year two, being the second year with him in that regime.
With a little more talent at wide receiver. Or guys,
exactly. The talent at wide receiver will continue to improve. They'll try and improve the interior O-line this year. It'll be a second year again, we're looking ahead at year two. It'll be a second year under the same offensive system, which this kid hasn't had in the last 4 years. And my favorite part is while watching these games, think of all the young quarterbacks, right? Trevor Lawrence. Mac Jones is hurt, but the kid Bailey Zappi.
The kid Bailey Zappi in New England.
Zach Wilson. Kenny Pickett. All of these young guys, if they are making the plays on, and some of them already do, but if they make the plays on third down and in the fourth quarter and on those what end up being game-winning drives, if they make those plays, it's all over Twitter, it's all over SportsCenter, it's the highlight of every young quarterback conversation, how, you know, they're stepping up, they're making these plays, and, you know, they're that guy, and, you know, like they're a great quarterback. When Daniel does it, nobody really bats an eye, and he unfortunately has come into this year with the last 4 years of baggage that he unfortunately built up, you know, with the turning the ball over and the poor play, because the team has just been terrible with horrible leadership. Regardless, I'm going to wrap it up. People need to start taking him just a little bit more serious, because, like you said, he's leading the league in game-winning drives. He's got to be up there in third down conversion percentage, or whatever the stat's called, especially in the fourth quarter. I don't know. I think me and you are one of the few people that are looking at it with really an open mind, not even a biased mind. We're looking at it with a legit. We've seen this kid play bad for a while, and now we're seeing a completely different quarterback out on that football field, and it's been a lot of fun. I know we're dragging on now, but Danny's playing great, defense is playing great. This is not where me or probably anyone thought this team would be through 6 weeks. So I'm not gonna question it. We're 5-5. Every time I say 5-1, I laugh. 5-1. It's unreal.
It just doesn't sound right. 5-1 doesn't sound right. Like you were saying, the Giants on Sunday were 7 of 14 on third down conversions, and Daniel Jones was a big reason for 5 of those. He picked up a 3rd and 14 and a 3rd and 12. So you don't want to ever be in a 3rd and long situation, but if your quarterback can pick up a 3rd and 14 and a 3rd and 12, you're looking pretty damn good. So overall, it was a lot of fun this game. And, you know, it felt like at points the Giants weren't going to win the game. And, you know, Baltimore kind of had control. They were running the ball well. Kenyon Drake looked like primetime Adrian Peterson for some parts of the game. Lamar Jackson's the fastest person I've ever seen in life, like 100% in live action. Oh, my God. But when it mattered most, the Giants stepped up. They made big plays. They go on these game-winning drives. You don't see Daniel Jones making any mistakes. And, you know, the crowd for a second lost air, because when he threw that pick in the end zone,
right,
that was a defensive pass interference. Marcus Peters ran it back. But it was so blatant that he was holding the whole time. Like, the whole crowd knew. They threw the flag right away.
Yeah.
But the players on the other side, like the offensive linemen, didn't see that. So, like, they're chasing after him, and everyone's like, stop, stop, stop. Like, it's not necessary. Like, save your breath. Like, we're getting back down to the one, and we're punching this thing in. And then Saquon just goes over the top. Probably jumped from, like, the 4-yard line. The guy is just
a super
athlete. So, loudest I've ever heard in MetLife. The interception was unbelievable in the strip sack. It's really good to see Giants fans happy. I had some tears in my eyes when the game ended. I'm not going to lie. Just looking around the stadium, seeing everyone so happy, just like hugging and like, oh, we're five and one. It was a cool moment, you know, going up to people on the way on the parking lot, like, you know, giving people high fives, hugging random people I've never met before in my life. Like, it was, it's cool that the whole fan base is really in on the new culture too. So Tom, that's all I got. I'm really excited, dude, for the future, and on to Jacksonville this week. We'll see what happens. We'll have a game preview, and let's go Yankees tonight. I got to catch the train in probably like an hour. So
yeah, you gotta go, bro. You gotta go. We're riding high, baby. Let's go.
All right. Kayvon Thibodeau, congrats on your first career sack.
Many more to
game winning strip sack. And Wandale Robinson, congrats on your first career touchdown. Many more for those guys to come. Daniel Jones, way to be. Find your rookies for two touchdowns. Bellinger and Robinson. We'll see you on the game preview week 7. Yeah, week 7 already. Yep. Oh, my God. So, all right, Giants fans, enjoy. Let's go, Yankees.
Later.